I got alpaca fucking fiber insulation, bro. I bought it from Gun Farm. He was collecting it. It only took him 27 years to get enough, but I paid him handsomely. What's up? Good evening. You are listening to another episode of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. I am your host, Billy Gunn, on this, the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. This evening, we've got another return guest, a dear, dear friend of mine, longest tenured friend in the world. He was on a few weeks ago to talk about cryptos and the market, and that was a fascinating, fascinating conversation. Kind of led off our off-season series of podcasts, and we got a lot of really amazing feedback on that show because, like, people were just like, cool to get that knowledge, excited to get that knowledge. So, coming back, making a second appearance on Taking the Over, Cedric, what's up, man? How you doing tonight?
Hey, Gunn, how's it going, man? I'm doing good.
Dude, I'm doing well. Doing well. Just ate some gumbo about 5 minutes before we started talking. So forgive me.
Nice. Seafood or chicken and sausage?
The spicy, the kind with lots of okra in it.
Oh, right.
Lots of green okra in it.
Who made
secret.
It?
Secret code. I don't know. I don't know who made it. I don't know. I don't know where it came from. I don't know its words. To be honest with you, I have no idea
where
it originated
safe.
From. I think it's safe. I feel like it's safe. I feel like it's very, very safe. I feel like I've been here. I feel like I've had it before, and everything's going to be okay. Yeah,
man, I'm surprised. I'm surprised to hear that there were quite a number of people who, you know, were thankful for the last time I was on. I wasn't really sure that the audience would be interested in it. So yeah, man, it was really nice to be able to kick off your off season.
I feel like anytime you talk about blockchain and cryptos, number one, it almost feels like there's a generational understanding. And number two, just some people's brains don't get it. And it doesn't mean that they're not smart. It's just like, it's just different brain types. You know what I mean? And part of it, like I said, part of it's generational. But then after that, even amongst people of the same generation, their brains aren't set up for it. And mine wasn't for a long time. And it's, you know, I had to kind of really compensate by exposing myself to a lot of it. But, yeah, it was good. It was a good talk. I mean, it was right in the middle of everything going on, dude. I want to say when you and I talked about Bitcoin, it was at like 33,000 that night, and I looked a couple days ago; it's 58 now.
Yeah, well, actually, so what's happening right now? I think it's probably dropped to 52.
It's only dropped. Up. Yeah,
but yeah, it definitely has a whole lot of volatility, which is good. I like it. I'm a swing trader. Which basically means whether it's going up or down, I'm going to make mine because this is not like a long-term hold for me. I'm not a hodler, so to speak, somebody who's going to just buy and hold. Not that that's a bad idea. It's just there's a lot more money to be made in between. But tomorrow, there's going to be about, I don't know, $6 billion dollars in options that are expiring.
Ooh.
And so that's supposed to really... have an impact, potentially tanking it down into the 40s.
Interesting.
So I've set myself up to try to make some good profit off of it dropping. So okay. We'll see by the time this is released, all of the damage will have been done, or the damage will have begun.
Dude, I'm against betting against Bitcoin, but you're doing something very specific and short term based on
short term.
Perfect. Dude, we're not here to talk about that last. And I'll tell you the funny thing about my end of that episode when we had you on last time is I took too much gummies, and dude, I was just like white knuckle holding on while we were broadcasting.
As long as there were no technical difficulties.
No. Everything technically, we were fine. But oh my god, it was like I think I was sweating at one point. Not sweating tonight. Yeah, but tonight we got a lot to talk about, dude. Lots been going on. I have what I believe to be probably my best gambling advice of the year coming up here in a second. We've been doing gambling light episodes off season because predominantly I'm interested in football and NBA basketball and college basketball and hockey and golf. Those are all fun, but they're not my strengths. Mm. But I've tapped into something that's going on in the NBA this year, and it involves our beloved New Orleans Pelicans. So couple weekends ago, my good friend, I call him my great Uncle Tommy, and he's been mentioned on this podcast before. And my great Uncle Tommy is a maker of books. He is a bookmaker.
Gotcha.
He manufactures books for a living. And he got a suite for Pelicans versus Clippers, which was, I think it's a game of the year, to come see down at the Smoothie King Center, and went, and he's an angel of a human being, dude. You'll never find a maker of books that's as kind and just cool to get along with as my great Uncle Tommy. Sometimes makers of books have reputations as being like organized criminals or like last names ending in vowels, but my great Uncle Tommy's just like a sweetheart of a guy and an older gentleman. Right.
Did you know your Uncle Tommy very well before he made a few books for you, or?
You want the Uncle Tommy origin story? I'll give it to you. It was a few years ago, and there was a Monday night football game between it was like the Chiefs and the Rams, and this was, I think, 2018. Okay. And it was like you knew it was going to be a high scoring game. You knew it was going to be a ridiculous game, and the over under on it was like in the 50s, the 60s, and it was like these teams are going to score 100, and. I was working in New Orleans at the time, and the closest place I could get to put a wager on the game was at Bay St. Louis, like the Silver Slipper. So I got off work in New Orleans and hauled ass to the Slipper to try and get there ahead of game time to put a bet in on taking the over, because I just knew. I mean, it was elementary, right? You knew it was going to hit, and I got there late. And the teams had already started scoring a bunch, so there was no point in doing an in-game line. But I just my usual thing to do would be to like post up at the bar that has video poker and just drink free beers all night and play, $40 worth of video poker and do that while watching the games. And he came and sat next to me, and we started talking, and it was like, I was like pissed off that I missed this game. You could tell I was in the betting, and a friendship was born.
Nice.
Yeah. Kidding you know, it. We did our That's introductions fair. And yeah. So, I've had knowledge that he is a manufacturer of books ever since. And we've had a real good relationship. Like I said, cool guy. So
cool.
Invites me to this Pelicans game. In the suite, And we get there and we're talking, and we start, you know, we're talking about, of course, when you're watching games with gamblers, like, I don't know, you're not in that much into gambling. You probably don't have a whole lot of degenerate gambler friends, but I've got a few, right? I'm like, I like am your degenerate gambler friend, but like, I have other degenerate gambler friends. And, you know, when you're watching games, you know, you're texting, you're messaging, you're this and that. And it was like, is, you know, you're doing that with the lord of that, you know, you're at a game in a suite in person doing it. So we're talking about the total, Cedric, and of course, you're a novice gambler. Total, like in a basketball game, just like in a football game, is the total points of both teams scored by the end of the game, right? And so a common NBA total would be like 220. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's like, okay, you know, are both teams combined going to score 220 points? And that's called the total. Well, the name of my show is Taking the Over, because whenever we bet totals, we only take overs, right? Because taking unders sucks. Taking unders is boring. You don't want to root against scoring. You want to root for scoring, right?
Got it.
So Great Uncle Tommy and I are having this conversation exactly about totals and overs, and because he seems really paying a lot of attention to the total in this game that we're at, you know? And I'm asking him, like, I said, Tommy, I said, how many of your players take the under? And he's like, son, zero. 99% everybody that wagers, you know, wagers takes the over, because like we stated earlier, it's boring. And then he and I have the discussion. It's boring, you know, you're rooting against scoring, blah 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 blah. And then a light bulb went off in my head, and I was like, well, Uncle Tommy, if you are the manufacturer of books and all of your players are taking the over, doesn't that mean that you're rooting for the under every single time? And he looks at me and he smiles and he says, it's the toughest part of my job, son.
Right on. Well,
this is the toughest, the worst part of his job. Is rooting for the unders, right? The worst part of his job is rooting for the unders. So, so he's like following the, like, I think the total on that game was like 223, and they scored 60 in the first quarter. So that's like 60, 120. That's two. So you're on pace the whole game. And one thing, Cedric, that again, you're probably not aware of because you're not a degenerate gambler, but one thing that degenerate gamblers do, especially in basketball, because you're scoring every 30 seconds, is you'll do the math in your head. The whole game, you're trying to do like 10th grade algebra, you know, to see where you're at. And Uncle Tommy and I are doing this. And dude, I took like 75 milligrams of gummy, and they all hit like right mid conversation with him. And I just have the biggest smile on my face, because he is like, and then he kind of like shared a little bit how invested he was in the under versus the over. And I was like, oh shit. Because it's the local team. All of his players are New Orleans based. And when you're cheering for the home team, oh, you'll bet on the total, and you're not going to bet the under on the home team. Right. So, and also the Pelicans genuinely crack a lot of overs against whoever they play, because they play no defense. They don't play any fucking defense. And and they've got like all these young scorers, and it's like, you know, Zion and Brandon Ingram are going to be awesome every night, but there's no telling who the third or fourth guy will step up to be. And lately, Lonzo Ball has been like playing like he's going to be an all-star moving forward. So it's like, it's just a recipe for the fucking overs hitting on the Pelicans game. And so we're watching the game, and it's so funny. And Tommy's lady friend is there, and she's like, you boys just stop doing that math and enjoy the game. I was like,
she knows.
Man. I was like, man. Oh, she knows. But I was like, man, weird. This is 80% of the fun.
And I mean, he makes all kinds of books, right? He's since it's all kinds of different, it's not limited to just dribbling, right? I mean,
oh, bro, he makes books on, you can bet on fucking Turkish water polo.
Okay, right. Yeah. On. So
I've known guys, Cedric, that were so degenerate that they'll bet on fucking sports that they don't even know the rules of, just because it's happening at like 9 o'clock in the morning our time on a Tuesday.
I mean,
and they can't
save your time of going to the casino,
right? I mean, and sometimes you're better off that way, because it's like we were gonna pick the Sweet 16 NCAA tonight, but this pod, because we've got so much good content on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network, I think we're gonna drop this pod on like Sunday or Monday, and so it's really not even time sensitive. I mean, the Sweet 16 is gonna be over by then. But, like, dude, I know so little. Like, I was going to have my cat, Uncle Baby Billy, like, make the picks on the podcast for the 8 Sweet 16 game. You know, I mean, I was like, yeah. I was just like, I'll put catnip over here, and put a piece of paper by each one and let him pick. And it's, you know, he loves catnip, bro. He, like, you know, cats, cats and catnip, you know what I mean? I was going to try that, and I was like, no, fuck, you know, we don't have to do that. We'll do that another time, right? So, back to the Pelicans, it's excruciating watching him
this now, game. I mean, I'm just going to imagine in my gambling ignorance. So once the world understands that the Pelicans are going over in 80% of the, you know, games that they're playing in, that adjusts the odds, right? I mean, it's not just 50-50 over-under, right? It's like this team over, this team under, or is it
it's both teams combined. Remember, it's both teams combined, but you would think that Vegas would catch up. Yeah, because typically they do. It happens in the NFL, and you'll see, I mean, yeah. You'll see totals move depending on trends, time of year. I mean, look, again,
yeah. The weather,
it's computers and the devil that make the lines, dude. I mean, like, it's computers and say, like, I don't know, they got a magic ingredient of how they do it. But as I'm about to tell you, dude, I did some research, because during the game, Uncle Tommy turns and looks at me and he says, son, just bet the Pelicans over. He's like, do it every time. And then you got to go, well, this is why he's such a sweetheart. He'll tell you how to beat him. He'll tell you how to beat him. And he's like, just bet the Pelicans over. You do it. And then I know other friends of mine that like have been telling me, just bet the Pelicans over, just bet the Pelicans over. And I'm like, yeah, he's telling me the truth. He's not like trying to trick me into losing with him. He's telling me bet the Pelicans over because he likes to see us win. That's why he's such a sweetheart of a book manufacturer. So I did some research. Dude, you would think that they would catch up, Cedric, but they don't. Here's the and I mean, I can tell you, I went to another Pelicans game on Tuesday of this week. The second best game of the year when they were playing the Lakers, and the total was 220. And of course, LeBron James and Anthony Davis are out for the Lakers. So you can see where the people that manufacture the lines are going, well, not going to be, you know, there's going to be so much scoring and star power going. It's like, no, motherfuckers. It doesn't matter. The Pelicans are playing and they don't play defense, and there's no telling, the fucking Zion might score 30.
I mean, that Ingram was two nights ago, the Lakers?
It was 2 nights ago against the Lakers.
Yeah.
And it was 220 and 221 and a half, and they cracked that easy. Easy. We left early. I was like, this is done. I'm good. I'm so good. And they beat the shit out of the Lakers. And it's so.
I watched most of that game, actually. Like,
in yeah. Those Lakers unis are horrible, dude. So the last 34 Pelicans games. The last 34 Pelicans games, if you took the over, you'd be 25-8 and one push in the last 34. You're going, oh, David, maybe that's too big of a sample size. Maybe you're trying to include. Okay, how about just the last 22? 16-5-1.
Most of those unders are more recent, I guess, They've been.
Yeah, but like, even still, because they caught up a little bit, but dude, it doesn't matter. At that rate.
Getting tired? Like, is that like rate, a seasonal
play it,
thing?
Play it like you. No, it's just that the fucking Pelicans don't play defense. And they have young, emerging talent all over the place that scores.
Man, I don't know how Vegas is not including that in their calculation.
I'm telling you, this is the advice for the remainder of the NBA regular season. And we will recalibrate in the playoffs, round one. If you're going to bet NBA and you want to win money, just take the fucking over on the Pelicans every time. Every time. It's like, you know, yeah, it's not like you look at Bitcoin and you go, well, fuck, Bitcoin's already up to, you know, too late to get in. No, it's not too late to get in. As long, and you got to do it every night. If you don't do it every night, it's not going to work. If you pick and choose, don't try to outsmart it. Outstupid it. Outdumb it.
Oh man, that would be that's gambling to me. Is outdumbing it? That is fun.
Outdumb it, yeah. To do fucking be so. And then, well, I'll tell you. And then you're watching the game, and guess what you're doing? You're having fun. You're like, you're every team that scores. You're like, hell yeah. And guess what? If the Pelicans lose, which more often than not they do, guess how you feel?
Like a winner.
Like a winner.
It's like that jackass. Look, so I play fantasy football. I mean, I know what it's like to
win. Different.
Even though it's different. Yeah, because I mean, I'm not getting it's paid different. Right then. Yeah.
It's different.
I'm not 100% familiar. I'm not 100%. But I still know what it's like to win when you lose.
Take the over on the Pelicans from here on out. I mean, just that's it. That's all I can say about it. And that's going to be my new Twitter mission, is just to fucking spread the gospel of taking the over, because I happen to own at taking the over. I mean, I could just turn that account into hilarious takes on fucking overs all across the sporting landscape, taking the over in life, taking it, whatever.
There are more games left than they've had already, right? We're not even to the middle of the season, right?
No, they're past the middle of the season. They did it, but the schedule's been weird because of COVID, and All-Star break was weird.
Oh,
it right. is still is a short fewer games? Season.
I feel like it was 82.
It's fewer games. It's something. Fewer games, but it's usually 82. It's less than that now.
Okay. Yeah,
but there's still plenty, and then you got the playoffs, and the playoffs are fun to bet on in round one. It's easy money round one.
Dude, you need to call me more often when that easy money's, you know, coming up.
just do it now. I mean, do it now. This is what you do now. Go take the over from here on out.
Taking the over.
I went back to our alma mater this weekend.
Oh.
Yeah, up in there. We went to go watch a football game, and then we ended up not watching a football game because, you know, the Southland Conference due to COVID.
Thanks for clearing that up, Gunn, because, you know, we share two alma maters, my friend.
But I didn't know if you knew that the Southland Conference,
you're right? So
moved their shit. No, they moved their shit to spring to play football. Oh, you thought that I made a pilgrimage back to Salmon High School?
You could have.
Well, it's only 30 minutes down the road. I guess I could. I don't call it. Yeah, I mean, it's not a big of a deal.
You might not be able to show your face there. I don't know. I thought.
Oh no, I'm good, dude. I'm good wherever I go. I'm good everywhere. I got good credit with everybody. Okay. I can show my face almost everywhere.
Nice.
Almost everywhere. Is there anywhere you can't show your face?
I'm not at liberty to really talk about that.
Okay, no problem, bro. I went to Natchitoches. And we ended up not going to the football game. It just hanging out, you know, relax, a little mini vacation. Most time was spent downtown on the bricks. And, you know, I was in a college fraternity when we were there. And we recently bought a house for the fraternity. And I went to the house to go. So, never been in it before, never seen it before. And you forget, like, how old you are now, too. Like, you know, the kids that are in the fraternity now were not born when you and I were freshmen in college.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, man.
It's, that's baby. Insane.
Yeah, we are old fucking men, bro.
We're older than some of them. We're older than some of them's parents. You know right. what I mean?
Fuck.
So that's that. Ugh. But you know, so they've got this little house, man, and it's, you know, I mean, it's good for them. It's a big step, and we're looking at it and all, and they're telling us, and it's so funny. Like anytime you go talk to like a Greek person, past, present, future, they'll always tell you like, oh, the Greek advisor hates us. The university hates us. They're always out to get us. They're always fucking us. You know, and that's like the, you know, grass is green, water's wet, and everybody thinks that fucking the dean is out to get them. Because often they are held to a fucked up standard. And so we're talking to these kids, dude, and they're just telling us about this steady string of like, oh, we can't do this, we can't do that. You know, there's COVID. You know, they didn't get to do all the normal stuff because of COVID, and that really starts to break your heart because like these are, you know, they're never getting these years back. You know what I mean?
Right.
And and some overbearing rules, and you're just like, oh man, and you don't want to tell them like. Back in my day, you know, because like you don't want to.
Not that college is already sucking because of COVID. I mean, damn.
Yeah, I know.
Jesus Christ, dude.
But one of the things that was common about that we had in my fraternity, one of the traditions back in the day, because our mascot was a snake. So we had like a 9 foot long, 60 pound Burmese python. Uh-huh. And that was like the mascot, and that would go to like it would go to tailgate parties, and the snake would go over here and it'd go over there. It was too strong to be kept in its container, so it would get out, and it might like wind up in bed with a sorority girl, like in somebody's room, you know, like the snake would just go where it wanted to go. We had lots of fun times with the snake and stories about the snake. And they were like, yeah, we got these rat problems in the house. I was like, why don't y'all get a fucking snake? Two birds, one stone. And they were like, oh, we can't do that. I was like, why not? Like, oh, that's against the rules. And I was like, what rules? Oh, we just know that's against the rules. And it's like, well, there's a rule against snakes? I don't think so. And but it opened my eyes to the fact, Cedric, that these young men are just like, they're so overruled and overregulated that their default position is to assume that they can't do otherwise normal things.
Wow.
We can't have,
they don't even know what normal is, man.
They have no clue, man. They have,
you know,
no
but
clue.
That's really giving you an opportunity to relate, like maybe not relate, but to see what their generation's going through. What are they, Zoomers? Like they, you know, their whole mentality is so different from ours, and there's reasons for it, man. I mean, they just grew up in such a, you know, in such a more restricted environment, a restricted world. They're, you know, not just due to COVID, but everything. It's like the helicopter parenting and the internet and spying and all this shit is just like making them feel like, yeah, man, just do what you got to do. I don't know. They're not free. Well,
okay. So, you know, you're a single dad, right?
Yep.
I'm a single dad. We're both single dads raising daughters. And that's uncommon. And one of the things that I've had to learn as I move through the world as a parent is that our children's experience, our daughter's experience is not going to be the same as ours.
Well, I mean, gender is already enough.
No, dude, taking gender out of it, taking that out of it, just looking at it from a standpoint of like,
they grew up with smartphones in their hands.
Yeah, we're like, oh, why aren't y'all, you know, riding bikes and going to the undeveloped part of the neighborhood and, you know, having
burning
a fort.
Shit.
Right, burning shit. Making bombs.
Yeah. Fuck.
Oh. Yeah, out at the fort in the woods, you would have like porn stashed, dude, and then you would have like bombs. You'd make dice bombs, you know, fucking whatever. And you go, but as a parent now, and you're raising kids, and you're like, for a minute there, I was like, oh man, something's wrong. She's not having the same experience that I did. But it's like, bro, we didn't have fucking Fortnite. You know what I mean? Like, dude, if we could have played like massive online first person shooters, if we could have done, if we'd have had any of the interconnectivity of video gaming, because we were just inside playing Tecmo Bowl.
Yep.
You know, but we'd go, yeah, this, okay, we can only play Tecmo Bowl so much. Then we're going to fucking go outside. These kids don't have that. And it's, you know, and everybody, you talk about helicopter parents, everybody's afraid to let them go here, let them go there.
Well, I mean, like, they do have that. They just aren't utilizing it because nobody, I mean, dude, my mom kicked us out of the house. There was no option. Even if I wanted to stay inside and draw all day, she still would have kicked me outside. It was a different mentality. Our parents came from, you know, the boomers. These kids' parents came from, you know, us. And so,
right, we, the inside kids.
Know, So, I mean, our experience, you know, certainly was, man, we got to play video games as they were really coming into their way of being. Now the people our age are the ones who are really in control of their development and expansion. And like these kids, you know, I think parents, you know, some of them, you know, want to force it on the child, like our parents did. Go outside, come back when the street lights come on, you know, and that sounds like something from the 50s, but for sure it was our life, you know.
Right.
And for these kids, you know, because of the fear that's instilled due to, you know, how much it's promulgated on television and online. Fear, 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 fear. So people stop minding so much their kids not getting so much vitamin D, you know, not being, you know, observed at all times or they're outside. I mean, I would never let my daughter go down the road around the corner to the next neighborhood to go to the candy store and rent a video game. I would never. At what age? Right. I mean, she's not even 10 yet. So, I mean, I don't know what age it is, but it's certainly not the age that we were.
Well, dude, I say, what age were you doing that? What age were you going around the corner to the fucking candy store and renting a movie?
7 and 8.
Exactly.
You know,
so are like, so you're so soon, so
as soon you're guilty as if of you the get fear. Hit by a car, if you get hit by a car, it's your bad. You know what I mean? Like don't.
And we didn't have a cell phone to like call. Like, and go, hey, I've been hit by a car.
Dude, our parents. Yeah. I mean, if you really a kid would think if they understood, they would think our parents didn't love us because the amount of the difference in divergence in what would be considered neglect. Jesus, man. I mean, parents have to be so much more responsible. We have to do their homework almost with the. I mean, it's ridiculous, really. What's being asked of us and expected of us when all that we should be doing is kind of creating borders and allowing them to grow and develop in their own way and bump your head and, you know, whatever else, get bit by a dog. I don't know. Not really. But if you wander into the wrong yard, I mean,
oh, dude, if somebody gets bit by a dog today, it's like, oh my God. Go post it on the neighborhood Facebook group Susie got bit by a dog. Oh,
next door. The next door app connected to my Ring doorbell, dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So they got video of it. We have video of the dog.
Yes. No, I have video of the child running, screaming down the street. He must have been in the neighbor's yard. I mean, that kind of crap.
Dude. Yeah, it's man. Those crazy.
Poor college students, dude. So, I mean, what was the result? Like when you told them, hey, we had a snake and all this stuff, were they just like emboldened or were they surprised? Yeah,
they were all blown away by that. And then, again, it seemed like an instinct. It was something that was shocking that how excited they were. They were always excited when we told them how old we were. Because like, you know, in a fraternity, you have badge numbers. And as soon as you get initiated, you get a number. And me and my buddy that went up there, our numbers were so low. They're like 500 numbers away now. You know, they're like, your number what? You know? And so it's like, they're going, you're fucking how old? Yeah. Which was pretty, you know, that's fun every time. I ran into this one kid and he was like, I saw him at a tailgate and then I saw him like, I went to the bathroom at the sports bar we were at. And he's like, hey, alumni, man. And I was like, what's up, kid? And he's like, man, he's like, I love college. I'm like at the urinal. He's like, I love college. And I was like, yeah, it's pretty, it is pretty awesome, brother. You embrace, you need to fucking, like when Billy Madison, where he grabs the chubby kid's cheeks, don't ever grow up. Dude, I was like, yeah, it's, I was like, yeah, dude, it's awesome.
It's and fucking like, awesome, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he was like, I'm gonna, you know, he's like, man, he's like, I'm here with this girl and I'm gonna try and have sex with her. And he's like, but right now, he's like, my grandma gave me some money, so I got to call and thank grandma. And I was like, what you need to do, son, is you need to like call your grandmother and tell her thank you for that money. And it's going to enable you to, you know, get closer to your goal of having sex with this girl tonight. And he's like, I can't tell grandma that. I'm like, bro, you can tell grandma that. Grandma fucking understands. How do you think you got here?
I hope he didn't listen to your advice.
I hope he didn't either. I hope he didn't know. I hope he didn't tell his grandma.
You know, let me ask you this. Do you think... Because do you think you're actually too old to be dropping into the dorms or into the frat house? Like, you know, like I'm actually thinking, what would you have done, or you in house, or you and any of the guys, if some 40-some-odd-year-old man showed up without making fun of him, thinking like, what the fuck is this dude doing here? Is he lost? Like,
oh, they what? Looked at they looked at us like we were from outer space.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And we'd ask the store and they'd go, well, we got in a fight the other day and we lost all of our privilege and they thought we were going to be mad. And it's like, yeah, they took all your privileges away for getting in a fight. They're like, yeah, there was a bar fight and it was pretty bad. And that, and I was like, we got in fights every fucking week. It was like expected of us to get in bar fights. And they're like, yeah, well, the, you know, these guys lost their charter because they got in a fight. It's like, what? What's going on? Inside kids are running the fucking world right now, bro.
Dude, you should make a spinoff of Old School just because, you know, like, and it just literally be y'all's old asses, like, going back to the frat house, kind of like a mix between Wedding Crashers and Old School. And it's just you trying to hang out with the kids. Yeah,
we didn't try too hard. I mean, it was like, okay, well, y'all, you know, have your fun, go, you know, everybody, you know, go have sex outside, do whatever you're gonna do. I mean, just the crazy shit you do. Just the crazy shit you do. Go do whatever you're gonna do and fucking wear your mask, you know. I mean, just,
oh god, yeah,
it was something. But I came out of it saying I want to buy these kids a snake, you know what I mean? Like, I want I want to put like $500 towards a fucking snake setup for their needs. And you know, they probably got to fucking call an insurance agent or something, but whatever. I can't
they
do
sound
that
like some honest kids, man. They sound like they'd turn themselves in or some they're good kids.
Dude, they got it was in the news. It was in the news a few months ago. They got accused of hazing and it was like a fucking, it was on like the local news, on television news. And everybody's like, what, you know? And so they take 3 or 4 months to investigate it. And while they investigate it, they suspend them. Right. So you're suspended. You can't do shit. You can't have parties. You can't have alcohol. You can't have fun, whatever. They do the hazing investigation. They're found innocent. It's like the kid made it up or some shit. They're found innocent by everybody involved. And it's like, well, you still fucking suspended them. They can't get that time back. You took a semester away from them. What's
no retribution.
What are you going to do? You know, it's just, so that's why they're conditioned to feel that way. That's why they're conditioned to be like, we can't do anything. We can't have a pet. It's like, bro, come on. You can have a pet. It'll be all right. We can get y'all a pet, you know? Pet snake. But I can't be buying them any snakes until I've got a taking the over announcement a big taking the over announcement. So, man, I just made a decision to move to Mississippi about 7 months ago, as you're well aware, right? Mm-hmm. And I have reached agreement to purchase a home and ranch.
Oh, congratulations.
In Pearl River County, Mississippi, dude.
Oh, ranch.
A ranch. It's got horses on it right now.
What are you going to do with a ranch?
Well, not going to do horses.
Is this some kind of a Playboy ranch? I mean, like, are you trying to do?
No. If anything, it'd be like my spiritual leader, Riff Raff. You know, he's got a pretty cool little acreage set up in Florida. But now, what I want to do, and I've had this vision and this goal for a while, is I want to do alpacas. I want to raise and farm alpacas.
Where the hell did that come from?
I'll tell you where it came from. I think it was like
those gummies.
that helps. That definitely helps. Dude, I'm going to hit you with some alpaca facts that are going to blow your mind. A while back, I was on the road for work, and I was in between Memphis and Little Rock for about a month a couple years ago. And I went to go call on some clients at their home, and it was these dudes that like one of them was a computer programmer, you know, and the other one was some kind of other data analyst, and they like worked from home. And they moved and bought like all this land, and they were raising alpacas and bees. And
I knew some bee guys. Yeah.
And I'm thinking I might do bees too, but there's some ponds on tracts of land near mine, and that would just terrorize the neighbors if I did bees, because the bees would, it's like just straight to their water source, you know. I spent like hours with these alpacas. Hours. And I challenge you, Cedric, have you ever seen an alpaca in person?
At the zoo?
No. Where'd you see one at the zoo?
I'm not sure. I mean, where else would I see one?
Did you see one like in the petting zoo? Well, you'd see one on somebody's farm.
Yeah.
You'd see one on
like
a farm.
Where you can actually touch them, and like the area where you walk through. And
but here's the deal, dude. Here's how I know you didn't, because alpacas won't let you touch them. Alpacas aren't to be petted.
Yeah, I was wondering if you would touch any of them, but no. So what? I saw llamas, but not alpacas.
You very well could have seen llamas, because llamas will not let
very
you touch
well.
Them.
I've definitely seen these scared. Dude, I have pictures with them. So No, look at the Alexandria Zoo. See if they have
Who goes to that fucking shitty zoo?
People who live in Pineville.
Fuck that. I spent a lot of time, dude. I challenge you to be in the presence of an alpaca and not come out smiling. It's impossible.
They're so cute. I mean, they're cute AF, but.
Oh, they're magic, you know. Dude. They're fucking
magic. So tell
magic.
Me this. You know, you said they don't let you touch them. Mm-hmm. What is your fascination with, you know, the distance? Like, how close did you get? What were you just liked watching them? They're serene.
Yeah, they're cool looking. They the way they communicate with each other is pretty funny. Like, dude, just looking at them brings you joy. Just looking at them just feeds your hilarity energy. And they have other uses too. Now you can you shear them once a year, like sheep. Right? So you can you and the farm that I visited, these guys like they sold the fiber, and then they also like you could buy, they had like a gift shop where you could buy like alpaca hats and mittens and socks and blankets and shit like that. I ain't talking about that, bro. I just want some alpacas. Start with three. a little herd. You can't have just one. They'll die of loneliness. And you can't have just two. It fucks them up. They say you got to start with at least three. And then, you ready for an alpaca fact? All right. So do you prefer if I say alpaca fact or alpaca fact?
Go with the second one if you can maintain it.
Alpaca fact?
Is that a thing in the alpaca community?
No, like, I invented that.
Okay. Is it just like a tongue twister? You can't get your tongue untied, so you're just rolling with it?
Okay, alpaca fact number one. Their fiber is the best, right? You can sell it like sheep. I'm not trying to monetize alpacas. I just want to have them. Now, that being said, little known alpaca fact, alpacas, a lot of livestock have what's called hot manure. Okay, so follow me here. Like a horse or a cow.
Hot shit.
Hot shit. And it's not just that it's physically hot, which it is, but it's more to describe the fact that it's really packed with nitrates. And so if you have horse or cow manure and you seek to use it as fertilizer, you first must compost it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Alpacas do not have hot manure. You can take your alpaca manure and just immediately transition to using it as fertilizer. And it is among the healthiest and best fertilizers for growing specific plants. In fact, many alpaca farms spread across the United States have partnered with commercial marijuana farms to utilize the alpaca shit for the commercial growing of marijuana.
How did these things, I mean, they're naturally occurring, right? It's not like they were not bred into existence or anything, right? These are
they're of the camelid family. They're the same family as camels, right? And they're indigenous to South America. But starting in like the 60s and the 70s, people started bringing them to North America. And you see, like within me, within 100 miles of me, there's like two alpaca farms. And so if I had a significant herd, or if I eventually like monetized it or turned it into some like little agro education farm, or come take pictures to tour the alpacas and pay money. And I don't really plan on doing that. I just want to have them. And I want to use their shit eventually. And I want to take the shit. I want to take their shit, and I want to use their shit to grow plants when the day comes that I'm allowed to commercially viably raise certain plants. And that's what it'll be, dude. It'll be Gun Ranch with all of my alpacas and all of my marijuanicas.
They're weird, man.
I am fucking weird, dude. Is it though?
Well, no, it's not just, like, it's absurd. I'm looking at these alpacas though, like trying to understand their lineage and how they broke off to be South American camelids. Like, it's like, what the heck?
You can use them like llamas. They have like they have like mules and donkeys that'll like carry shit for you. Llamas will do a lot of that. They have packed llamas that can like, they'll like, people like high end hunters will take llamas with them to carry their shit. Alpacas, like I said, they have their fiber, you know, they're real, real big in Peru. So if you have a herd of a bunch of them, you could get the fiber just like you could with sheep, you know, but their fiber is better than that of the sheep. And
what do people do with the fiber? Like, what are they doing with them?
They're selling it, or they're selling
no,
it.
No, no, no. Just... Like, where does it end up? Like, I don't have any alpaca sheets or pillowcases or anything. What is it used for? I'm not fancy enough.
You're not fancy enough. Hmm. You're not fancy. I read that you can use it for fucking insulation in your home. How, dude, imagine like you're like fucking LeBron James and you've got the world's most expensive home and you're like, yeah. Bro, I got, okay. what kind of, hey, LeBron, your home feels rather well insulated. What, how you making that happen?
And he's like, the AC come on in hours.
I haven't felt an air exchange in this room in the last 45 minutes. And he'll be like, I got alpaca fucking fiber insulation, bro. I bought it from Gunn Farm. He was collecting.
There you go.
It only took him 27 years to get enough, but I paid him handsomely.
Damn, dude. Humans, dude, taking it. I mean, what a stretch.
Wow. It's a goal, man. I want to have. I'm going to have chickens day one. There's already a very nice chicken coop on the property.
Okay.
That is like. It's got an electric fence. It's like, you know, the chickens are well protected from pet predators. I mean, I'll probably have to get a couple herding dogs that'll help with, you know, coyotes and bobcats and predators. Wild boar could come and fuck shit up. You know, I can see a lot of time just spent sitting on my back porch overlooking my land, you know, with like a 22 in my lap, you know, just, fucking picking off predators, you know. Maybe that won't happen. I don't know.
Are the current, I mean, are the people who you're purchasing it from, will you have an opportunity to talk to them about how things roll in that area? I mean,
yeah. We've got to
probably be a good idea.
Yeah, we're gonna have the people I'm buying it from are pretty awesome. So we're gonna have continued communication and I mean, just knowing. In rural areas, when you have livestock, there are certain risks, and most of those risks, dogs. I mean, fucking dogs are a predator to chickens and alpacas and shit like that, you know. But there's already some electrified fencing set up within, like, nicer, ornate fencing. It's ready to roll, dude. August 2021, Gunn Ranch is coming online. We'll move, taking the over studios over there. You know, I might have some alpacas on the show. I might have some alpacas pick some games. Nobody's ever used alpacas to pick games before.
What's up with alpacas' teeth?
Alpaca fact. Alpacas only have bottom teeth. They don't have top teeth.
I mean, right? Like, what the? I mean,
they only have bottom teeth. They can't bite you.
Right. Do they graze on regular, like, what are they eating? Like,
so they will eat pasture and they'll eat grass in your pasture. Sure. It's always good to supplement it with some hay. I've got enough pasture, and this ranch is set up to where when you own livestock, one of the things you want to do is you want to rotate your pasture. So like every 3 or 4 months, just kind of move them to different areas and keep them, you know, when you have multiple acres, you're able to do that. So that's one thing I'll be able to do, and our climate down here is such that we do have grass for a while, but you'll supplement that with hay. And then you also have feed pellets they can eat. And then it's also good to like supplement their diet with nutrients and different things you can do. Like a salt block, you know, I mean,
yeah,
it's a lot. And
dude, it's funny. Like you might have a chick magnet on your hands, dude. Like, Gunn Ranch sounds like.
Oh, you think that?
I'm serious.
You think that would work that way? Right? Gracious! I mean, God, can you imagine the kind of farmersonly.com tail you're going to pull with a fucking alpaca ranch?
Right on.
I mean, right full on making that transition to farmersonly.com, and dude.
Yes, you ain't seen this kind of livestock, baby.
It'll be lucrative. Yeah.
Dude, you could give him such crazy hairdos and shit. Like,
oh yeah, 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 yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh my god. Oh
yeah, give him mullets. Yeah, 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 dude.
Oh my yeah. god.
And there's two types of alpacas. Now there's two types of alpaca fact. There's two types of alpacas. There's Surrey alpacas, which are the more common alpacas. That's about 80% of North American alpacas are Surreys. And that's what you see the most of. And then the other kind is, I'm sorry, the Surreys are the less common, and they're only 20%. They get like dreadlocks. And then the more common,
for them or something?
No, just in the course of a year, because you're only going to shear them once a year. So their hair kind of grows out in dreadlocks versus the Akaya alpaca. It has like traditional, it's just like, looks like hair.
Hmm.
It's not in dreadlocks. So.
Yaman.
Yaman.
My shit is the best shit, boy.
I got the best shit. You got some plants you need this shit for.
Sounds like a winner, man.
Little Rasta alpaca. Yeah. Fucking dreadlock Rasta alpaca.
Dude, you got to name them like, yeah, very.
Oh, they're going to get wonderful names. I'm so, you know, and I'll just, I mean, it's, dude, this is not going to be my job. I mean, I'll continue to, do my day job and be an award-winning podcast host. But
sounds like a second job, though. I don't know.
You could eventually get monetized. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll see. We'll see, dude, Cedric, I think we're coming into it. The world is in transition right now. We're reshuffling the deck right now. Money feels fake, and time feels like the real currency.
Okay.
Money feels fake as shit, and time feels like the real currency right now. And that's where, you know, I'm sure you would you agree?
I mean, I still want some of that fake money, bro.
You still need that.
If you want to come across some of any of that bullshit money, you holler at your boy. But
what's more valuable to you? What's more valuable to you?
Temporary. That's still temporary. Obviously, time. My mom raised me. Time is money. Okay.
Yeah.
Time is obviously the most valuable thing. We just try to leverage money so that we can get as much time. That's what the whole point of being free is, right? So they say you want to have fuck you money. Well, why? So you can have all your time yourself and decide what you want to do. So yeah, time for sure. But also, I think at first my thoughts were going toward like how all this Bitcoin easy money and the Wall Street bet shit blew up. But what's going on right now? We're in America, bro. And you know, they're talking about the dollar coming to the end of its dominance and all that. We have easy money here. And so money isn't as valued here as it is elsewhere because we print it out of thin air with the world's reserve currency and all that fun stuff. So, you know, in other places, money doesn't reign. They just, you know, you can think of all the poor countries where people are just smiling barefoot and shit, you know, living in mud huts. And at the end of the day, we're like, oh, fuck. But, you know, they have all the time in the world. I don't want to trade.
Okay.
I don't want to trade. But I think it's just we're in a unique point right now. You'll see the next 10 years, like COVID has shown us. Remember a year ago? Yeah. Did you go to Walmart or Target? Did you look at the shelves? Like if that became a more long-standing situation, you know, if that the closer that gets to being the standard, the closer it gets to people being unemployed, you know, like if things were to collapse, then I don't know, man. We'd be having a different kind of conversation.
It could happen. And guess what's going to happen when it does? I'll be on my ranch.
Yeah, you'll be switching to shearing your alpacas and trying to get them to maybe can we shear them twice every 3 years? Like, just trying. Get that extra. Fuck, man. Interesting.
Yeah. I'm going to have a self-sustaining homestead. Everything will have its purpose, and the purpose of the alpacas will be to make you smile. So that's my goal. That's my vision, man. That's what we're moving towards.
Well, so far you've been making everything happen.
Been making it happen, dude.
Put your mind to.
Been making it happen. Well, look, man, is there anything that we didn't get to that you definitely want to talk about?
No, I you know.
Well, Cedric, look, man, thanks for coming on the pod. I know you've got a busy life, and as we said earlier, time is the ultimate currency. So I'm very honored that you would take this time to spend some time chatting with me on Taking the Over tonight. Don't forget, take the fucking over on
for the rest
Pelican.
Of the season.
Rest of the season. Pelicans, rest of the season.
Got it. That'll be my initiation into gambling.
It's going to be a good one for you. It's going to be a good one for you, and it's fun. You'll see how fun it is. Well, look, man, with that being said, that's all the show we've got for y'all tonight. Cedric, tell all the beautiful people goodbye.
Hey, guys, thanks for listening. Y'all have a great one. Thanks for having me on, guys.
No problem, dude. This is Billy Gunn. I want to tell y'all that I love you, and we will see you on the other side later. Spend your time.